My name is Priscilla. I work at NORC at the University of Chicago. I'm a physician informaticist by training. I've been at NORC for 6 years. I direct a practice area in health information technology, and a lot of the time that I have spent at NORC has been around supporting health IT adoption in what I call, you know, the safety net. So health centers, federally qualified health centers, health center control networks, rural clinics, and the like. I've also worked on a variety of other projects that, you know, sort of broadly fall under the framework of technical assistance. And for the focus of today's presentation, I've done sort of a cross-cutting synthesis of what we've learned in terms of, you know, various approaches to supporting health IT adoption, you know, for health centers and other environments where resources are otherwise stripped. So that's the focus of my presentation. I'm happy to talk about any, you know, specific projects. I will mention a few here, but just mention them. But, you know, in the Q&A, happy to take a deeper dive. Okay. So just, you know, in terms of the focus, I think I want to just start with somewhat of a backdrop. Talk about the different types of technical assistance models, but then talk about support more generally in the form of health center control networks and some of the high-tech initiatives such as the Regional Extension Center program, and then talk about that within the context of, you know, the current health IT landscape. So, you know, for those that are involved in the health IT area, you know, maybe I should ask, by a show of hands, is anyone here from a health center or a health center network? Okay, are these terms sort of familiar to the audience, more or less? Okay. If there's anything I say and you want further explanation, we can, you know, we can get into it. So in terms of setting the stage, you know, we've done a lot of work, and some of the things that we've learned in terms of engaging with, you know, with the safety net and what their interest is around health IT, you know, not surprisingly, like everyone else, it's around enhancing efficiencies, reducing cost, improving safety. You know, there's a strong sort of thinking that traditionally there's been a use of a lot of these disease management systems, now called population health management systems, now evolving under the incentive programs into, you know, EHRs with enhanced reporting capabilities, that these types of tools could potentially, you know, deliver on these things. You know, increasingly, you know, we're hearing that in order to remain competitive in the current landscape, you know, changing the healthcare delivery environment in terms of bringing in new technologies is an important, you know, strategic objective. And, you know, I think across the board, there's been the strong movement to, you know, using HIT as an enabler for QI purposes, quality improvement purposes, but the ability to actually measure, you know, in some kind of quantifiable way, in some kind of repeatable manner in terms of what is going on in the environment, and to use that to then sort of enhance what you can improve, what you can make more efficient, and where you can sort of drive quality improvements. And then, of course, there's, you know, this thing called meaningful use and, you know, the significant investment in money to, you know, promote health IT adoption across the nation. So, you know, in terms of sort of the drivers, you know, that is what I would say are principally the things that seem to be moving things forward. And, you know, in terms of the sort of the issues that, the safety net sort of faces, cost is a big one. There's, you know, significant lack of infrastructure. So why you might want to have a system, hosting that system locally, you know, oftentimes is not an option because there's simply no infrastructure to support that. And therefore, you know, I think we're seeing some evolution of, like, sort of these hosted models, not just by EHR vendors, but by health center control networks and things like that. And this has been going on for a while, so it's not something that's net new. You know, the vendor landscape is complicated. It's becoming increasingly complicated. So, for example, you know, you have the sort of the traditional EHR vendors, but now a number of the EHR vendors are also offering health information exchange services, and a number of the HIE vendors are offering EHR-like capabilities. So how do you navigate in terms of what do you need for the environment and what you need to accomplish, you know, from a quality improvement or business perspective? And then, you know, there's a whole, you know, sort of wealth of literature on what it takes to actually take a system, bring it into an environment, make sure that it's integrated so it works within the context of the provider workflows. So I'm going to talk briefly about some of the technical assistance initiatives, both federal, state, and, you know, more locally in terms of foundations and the like. And then very briefly about the health center control networks and regional extension centers. Okay, so in terms of technical assistance, there have been some, you know, so this is not meant to be an exhaustive list, it's just some illustrative examples. There's the Health Resources and Services Administration, HIT Technical Assistance Center, has been in existence for many years. And you know, its primary focus is to provide technical assistance to the safety net community broadly. Okay. There's the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, National Resource Center for Health IT. So that's actually an initiative that was started in 2004 and recently ended, but has, you know, taken life in another center called the Health Information Technology Resource Center, which was recently funded by the Office of the National Coordinator and ARC. And the idea for the HITRIC is that it supports, you know, the regional extension centers and others that are now charged under meaningful use to promote EHR adoption and use. Then there's also sort of some of the state initiatives. So very recently, you know, we had engaged with some work that was being done out in Texas, where the State Office of Rural Health was working with the Texas Organization for Rural and Community Health Centers to support technical assistance in, you know, various forms around ICD-10 implementation. So, you know, there's like all these very emerging models, some of them particularly innovative in terms of how you can take a limited number of resources, have broad reach to support HIT adoption. We were also involved in the program evaluation of an initiative that was funded by the California Healthcare Foundation. And the program was called the Tools for Quality program. It sort of started just pre-ARRA and high-tech, but the idea here was to sort of, you know, implement disease management systems or population health management systems for QI. And as part of this whole initiative, there was this whole, so the grantees, so 33 health centers were given money to, you know, implement systems, but then there was a whole separate set of money set aside for technical assistance to support these health centers to actually, you know, accomplish the goals that they set out to. So the TA, the technical assistance occurs, you know, I would say in three forms principally, what we call like the one-to-many, peer-to-peer, one-to-one, and I'll get into, you know, into the specifics of each of these. So the one-to-many TA, you know, very common in terms of some of the, you know, these federal HIT technical assistance centers in the form of teleconferences and webinars. So both AHRQ and HRSA hold monthly teleconferences. They're free, they're open to, you know, anyone that's on the listserv, and they can come and attend these teleconferences. On these teleconferences, oftentimes, you know, there's experts in various topic areas. So it's a very common form of delivery of technical assistance. And then there's, you know, a whole wealth of resources in terms of online toolkits, adoption toolkits, implementation toolkits, and other resources, you know, again, forming in the context of the one-to-many TA. And, you know, just in terms of sort of the consideration for this type of technical assistance, you know, in our, so we've done lots of needs assessments and, you know, feedback analysis from grantees that take advantage of these resources. And some of the things that we've heard is, you know, they really serve a good purpose in terms of, you know, ensuring that the resources that are being put out are trusted, are vetted, you know, are not sort of pushing any particular product or angle. You know, they serve a very important role in terms of building capacity broadly, in terms of knowledge, in terms of, you know, other people that may be involved with HIT adoption at a health center or a clinic. They also help identify other places that might be doing similar work, so sort of start extending the network of where I could potentially, you know, go to or call to get information about any type of HIT implementation. And then, you know, I guess not surprisingly, they have a very broad reach because, you know, with a minimal amount of resources, you are able to reach vast amounts of people. The peer-to-peer technical assistance, I think, is becoming sort of, you know, increasingly common and is, again, something that is highly valued by, you know, the grantees that certainly we've worked with, or the safety net practices that we've worked with. And you know, they take the form of what we call communities of practice. So many of them are virtual. You know, you come together, pick a topic of interest. You know, oftentimes it's people that are at the same place or, you know, doing something similar around either a QI initiative, EHR adoption, health information exchange initiatives, so whatever the, you know, the topic of interest might be. There's more free-form versions of these you know, open forums. They may be moderated or not. And then there's, you know, what we call HIT adoption workshops. So we've also had the experience of doing a number of these in the safety net, where we have, you know, centers that have, you know, moved farther along, have had EHRs in place for a long period of time, and then they share their experiences and guide other health centers that are sort of following in their path in terms of what they can do or how they should go about. So far more intensive, far more hands-on, you know, far more focused on very specific issues, and could potentially be, you know, quite hands-on, but maybe not in the setting where, you know, where something's taking place, but more, you know, in a conference center or something like that. You know, not surprisingly, it is more resource intensive, and, you know, the number of people that you're able to reach is far more limited. And then, of course, there's the one-to-one TA, which often takes the form of on-site, you know, technical assistance or phone consultations. And many of these large TA centers that I've spoken about have actually supported this type of technical assistance, but, you know, not surprisingly, you know, they tend to be highly customized, and so the reach, you know, can be somewhat limited. But then, you know, very targeted and focused on the specific issue of that, you know, any sort of grantee needs assistance with. So that's sort of broadly speaking some of the TA approaches that we've seen, you know, the kinds of contexts in which one would use them, and, you know, the kind of resources that one would need to apply to each of these. For a while now, you know, there have been sort of these health centers that have been coming together, you know, forming sort of organizational entities in the form of health center controlled networks. And, you know, increasingly we're seeing, you know, a number of them sort of emerging across the country, and they support a variety of functions. So really, they, you know, the primary focus that they have is to support the health centers that, you know, that are affiliated with them with their various HIT implementations in a variety of different ways. So, you know, they you know, some of them get enterprise licenses for EHR so that they can then help the health centers that they support implement these, you know, across the board, get the systems, configure them, do workflow, customization, training, so, you know, soup to nuts, and then downstream help them with, you know, any kinds of QI, reporting that they might need to do. So you get a sense that there's, you know, sort of a comprehensive set of services that they may offer. They vary. So not all health center control networks do the same thing. But, you know, I think increasingly many of them are having, you know, a large suite of services that they offer. And I think, you know, for centers out there that are otherwise resource-strapped, you know, this is a, you know, it's an important consideration because they have an infrastructure, they have access to skilled IT resources, which is really quite a problem, you know, in the safety net. There's economies of scale because they're supporting the needs of many, and they actually help with hands-on implementation. And then, of course, you know, more recently there's the regional extension program. So, you know, one of the major programs funded by the Office of the National Coordinator. And, you know, one of the priority audiences for the RECs are, you know, other than small and, you know, solo private provider practices, are the health centers. Not surprisingly, some of the health center-controlled networks that have been at this business for many, many years, you know, became sort of logical recipients of funds under the Regional Extension Center program. So I think there's more than 70 across the United States. Some states have more than one. Like, so I think there's a maximum of four in some of the larger states. But, you know, they're serving sort of the local needs of the providers that are in the area. The focus today right now is very much around sort of meaningful use. For the Medicaid providers, it's around adoption, implementation, and upgrading software. But they're also supporting other aspects of, you know, meaningful use requirements. And I think increasingly there's an evolving business model of how they can add value-added services. So, you know, again, very similar to the health center control networks in terms of the services they offer. Is my time up? I can just wrap up. Okay. So I guess in summary, there's, you know, for the safety net, there's, you know, a variety of resources, you know, many of them from the federal government, some state initiatives, plus a few others that I've talked about. The regional approach works for some things, but increasingly we're finding that to actually put something within an environment and make it work does require local support, and that's an important consideration in terms of how health centers go about, you know, securing the support that they need to effectively use HIT. So I guess with that, I'm going to wrap up. And any questions? Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, I guess Howell. He has a question.
Oh.
seems like, or to shift medical care section, it seems like one of the problems is, or needs is, real-time technical assistance. I'm in a very, I guess you could say, IT-rich environment with partners in Boston, and I have a problem with screen freezes. I'm in the middle of a patient, and I can't get help in real time. Obviously, little practices, they can't have a full-time IT support person there.
Right.
Has anybody talked about that? Or
So, good point. So, in some of the models that I've talked about, like in these health center control models, they have exactly that. They have, like, a help desk that's meant to be available to the centers that they serve. So it's not, so this is obviously, if you're not part of a health center, yes, you're out there in the field, and technically you do not have the resources. So, I think there is a thinking that increasingly, as the types of HIT that's implemented, require a lot more sort of expertise and skill, infrastructure, leveraging or using some kind of hosted mechanism, not necessarily by a vendor, is something, worthy of consideration. It doesn't completely answer, like, so it doesn't solve everyone's problem for sure, right? But I think the idea is that, if you are part of a larger entity, that entity can serve, and today does provide help desk support.
I'm actually saying the opposite.
Oh, say that.
There's a lack of accountability and rapid responsiveness that crosses a threshold of what a clinician can tolerate in a busy practice. In other words, you can't tolerate the system being down.
Right.
You can't tolerate something being confusing, the screen freezing, losing data.
Sure.
And I think when I talk to physicians, there's a lot of that out there. And, of course, you don't hear that from the salesmen or companies.
Oh, absolutely not. Right. So, I completely agree, and, I don't think there's a perfect answer. There is an initiative that's going to get underway. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with this whole blue button initiative that the VA put out, where, vets can sort of click a blue button and they get access to aspects of their medical records, still being rolled out. But there is some initiative that's going to start looking at that problem. So some kind of button where providers, at the point of care, when they're trying to use technologies and having all kinds of issues, there's a way to log problems. It's not real-time feedback response, but, trying to create a more comprehensive accounting of what are all the myriad of issues that providers at the point of care encounter. Where that might go, I don't really know at this point, but, I think there is an awareness that this is an issue and that more needs to be done to provide, that type of support, especially when there's such a strong reliance on the technology, right, as things evolve. Any other questions?
Yeah. That was a great question, though. To further address that question, I think that's a training issue as well. So, we agree that I work with a lot of physicians and there's accountability on the technical side, but the technicians often have to be trained in order to respond very rapidly to certain situations. And unfortunately, there's human variability. Now, as a computer scientist, we always think about decreasing human variability with artificial intelligence, but since we're not there yet, then that means that we need humans to be trained to respond to those situations and understand the urgency.